Welcome to the Colleen and Bradley Show. Are you there, Holly?
I'm totally here.
Okay, good. Yes! I was speaking with my mute button on. It's not a big deal. We're doing great.
I was like, we really love Olivia Rodrigo this afternoon.
No, I got a coughing fit like right before we went on the air and I muted my mic. We're doing great, you guys. It's fine. It's
fine.
Thursday.
Fine.
It's the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Holly Roberts filling in for Bradley Trainer, who is well on his way to a cruise vacation. We will hear all about it when he returns. I'm sure it's going to be weird, but also awesome. Thank you. All aboard.
Toot, toot.
But right now, all aboard the Colleen and Bradley Show. Can we have an uncomfortable conversation, Halls?
Yes. Yes, we absolutely can.
Okay, so this is an uncomfortable conversation regarding Wendy Williams. I know. Okay, so just getting everybody up to speed, and then I'm going to talk about why it's uncomfortable. Wendy Williams, we learned yesterday, had been diagnosed with COVID-19. So we were like, okay, yeah, that's happening right now. That's a thing. Cool.
Yeah.
It's going to delay the start of her show, which is not something completely unfamiliar to us, in the sense that Wendy Williams has had many health issues that have caused the show to start and then stop and then start and then stop again, right?
Yeah, this is just one of many of things happening with Wendy Williams where it's like, okay, well, we're going to get a little bit of a delay. No big deal. No big deal.
Okay, so that's where I was yesterday with that news. I was like, okay, yep, we've been here before. We visited this mercantile. Let's move on with our lives. And then I took some time and I started looking through headlines. And this is where it gets uncomfortable. So I just want to be like upfront with the fact that we've been on a journey with Wendy. And Wendy's on a journey herself. And that journey does include some health issues. And so I want to acknowledge that, but also recognize that something smells funny. You smell that?
Kind of. What am I? Yeah, what am I getting a whiff of?
What are you smelling?
What am I getting a whiff of?
well, you're getting notes of. No, what you're getting, though, is, okay, so I'm going to backtrack with what I know from the research I've done on Wendy Williams. The first thing is this. Apparently, Wendy Williams initially was not anti-vax, but was not going to get the vaccine herself.
Mm.
Now, apparently, Dr. Oz was very concerned about that. And so he sat down with Wendy Williams and tried to talk her into having the vaccine and explain to her the reasons why, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as far as we know, she has gotten the vaccine because this is being reported as a breakthrough case, which is that's terminology that's reserved for a case that happens after a person has been vaccinated.
Yes.
And this was way back in March of 2020 that Wendy Williams was saying, I don't trust a vaccine. I've never gotten the flu shot, et cetera, et cetera.
So
March
of this year?
Last year.
So like a year and a half ago before we had a vaccine that was being rolled out.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the vaccine was that long ago that she was sort of, they were talking very much. But you know what? No, that actually wasn't that when people were starting to get the vaccine?
Of 2021?
Because
2020, that would have been at the beginning of the pandemic.
Sure.
Okay, and Wendy Williams having some skepticism about whatever was going to be unfolding.
But what's interesting is when Dr. Oz sat down to talk with her, that had to have been after the vaccine was rolling out because he even showed her video of him getting inoculated. So this has been an ongoing conversation between Wendy Williams and Dr. Oz. Again, it sounds like she did decide to get the vaccine because this is being reported as a breakthrough case. But this is where we start to, what's that?
Oh, get a whiff?
What's that smell? Yeah, a little whiff of something else.
Mm.
Wendy Williams, according to the NYPD, cops were called at 8 a.m. to the high rise that Wendy Williams lives in.
Oh.
On a psychiatric call.
Oh.
The NYPD has not confirmed that Wendy was the person who was in need of help, but there was a call for a 50. This is a quote directly from the NYPD spokesperson. There was a call for a 57-year-old nonviolent female who needed psychiatric services at that address on Wednesday morning. So that was yesterday. And then they were transported to the hospital. That would be, we're assuming that it was Wendy Williams. Wendy's rep has not confirmed this. But remember, now put that in a bucket with the fact that Wendy has had a lot of health concerns. She has Graves' disease, etc. And apparently this breakthrough case of COVID-19 was found while they were seeing her for other health evaluations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say that that isn't the case, but I'm also not trying to say that.
Right.
And what I mean by that is COVID-19 is a super understandable, ever-present issue right now.
Yes.
And people don't ask a lot of questions, nor should they, nor do they need to. But it's an easy thing to use when you say we're going to shut down production. And this is where it starts to sniff a little bit funky even more, is that there's already a return date scheduled for the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're saying September 20th will be the 13th season premiere. She will not be able to complete her promotional activities next week, but can't wait to be back in her purple chair on Monday, September 20th for the 13th season premiere. And I just find that interesting because we do not know the course of the illness and how long it takes. We only know when a person likely is no longer contagious. I just have questions. Your thoughts, Holly?
I see why you think something smells here, Colleen.
Thank you.
I can get a bouquet of mystery stenches surrounding William Wendy Williams. Now, I have a lot of curiosities, and I don't necessarily have any answers. But to your point, COVID, it's happening, and people are getting sick. And mm-hmm. that, yes, of course, you would not question whether or not someone was getting health treatments if they said that I have COVID-19. I also am very curious, though, you know, to your point, now that you're framing this, that there is a solid return date, because COVID is a very open-ended experience.
Right.
Every case is different, you know, and, you know, I will say, having witnessed the unfolding of a COVID-19 mm-hmm. diagnosis, you mm-hmm. don't know exactly what's going to be happening. So it's very bold for the production company to be like, okay, well, we're going to get back to business on October, right. whatever. Now, also the other side of that could be, you know, there's a lot of people working on a television show. There's a lot of people who are employed by a production, and they could be like, we're being ambitious and we need to have this date because of X, Y, and Z, whatever kind of contracts that these people have. They need to set a date and they need to have a target. There could be some behind the scenes things that we don't quite understand. And we're not privy to that. The production company is like, okay, you know what? We're just going to say this. But then on the other hand, you know, there could be something else going on behind the scenes where production feels like they can have a definitive season premiere and they're going to have it on that date. Mysteries, Colleen. I smell something.
I smell something too, but I'm wondering if one of the things you're smelling is a blind item.
Oh, it is.
Blinded by the item.
I got a whiff of anti-lawyer, and I want to share this with you, Colleen. Now, this is a confirmed blind item. This was confirmed yesterday, and actually, this was a blind item that was first published last Friday, but it did not make the final cut to be read in our Blinded by the Item segment.
Aha.
But here's the blind item that was first published last week. The illiterate talk show host told co-workers that she was vaccinated, but one of her friends says that isn't true and she has COVID and is not doing great.
Oh, no.
Confirmed to be Wendy Williams by NT Lawyer. Gossip, okay. Hearsay, friend of a friend playing telephone, but the blind item being revealed by NT Lawyer saying that, yeah, she's sick and is not doing great. So whatever we were sniffing might have led us on the wrong trail. And it couldn't just be legitimately that she's sick and she's not doing well. And that, you know, let's
This, you know, what's so interesting about that is, well, I don't know. I was going to say, it seems like they've been so careful to use the term breakthrough case.
Sure.
Which, you know, I think, I guess in this day and age is very important to do, but it's also not necessary. If it's COVID-19, it's COVID-19.
Right.
So the insistence that it's a breakthrough case would definitely go in line with that thought that she may have said that she went ahead with the vaccine and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if indeed she did not go through with the vaccine, we do know that that would have an effect on the severity, possibly, of the illness.
Right.
So just doing a little math there, although she, you know, she has been spotted out and about, up and about on 2 feet. And I'm not saying that you can't be on 2 feet and have COVID. I just feel like there's a lot of moving parts here and we have not heard the end of the story.
No, your absolutely thoughts? Not. My thoughts, Colleen, thanks for asking, is that the thoughts are jumbled on this story right now. There could be so many things, but I suppose my final thought on Wendy
Thank
Williams.
Thank you, Jerry Springer.
You're welcome. Is that this story is trying to be managed and controlled by Wendy Williams and her people to guide the optics in a specific way, meaning that there is more to this story that they're letting on to, and they're protecting the truth for whatever many reasons we don't quite understand.
Ugh. Well, more shall be revealed. We will continue to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on with Wendy Williams. And again, like I said, it's an awkward conversation because we've been on a roller coaster with Wendy Williams and her show and the stops and the starts. And at the end of the day, what we ultimately wish for her is the best of health.
Absolutely.
But you know, our job is to smell. Our job is to sniff things.
And
this
we,
one just wasn't passing the sniff test.
When we get a whiff, we got to sniff.
It's true. When you get a whiff, you must sniff. And also, what we also have to do is make sure we deliver all the dirt straight from Hollywood. And that's what Elizabeth Reese is going to do with a Dirt Alert after this on My Talk 107.1.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All the dirt straight from Hollywood. It's a Dirt Alert. Hey, Elizabeth.
Well, hello, my friends. How are you?
Wonderful. Hello. And you?
Good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. You sound a little off, but it maybe just sounds like you're in some sort of foxhole.
Oh, you know what? Here, let me try something different. You know, we're doing great here.
Yeah, we're just doing great. We're coming in hot.
Just one of these days.
A little bit better?
Oh, yeah. That now you sound like you're outside of the foxhole.
Okay, good. I got out of the hole for you.
I don't know. Wherever you want to be.
Good talk.
Fine. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez heading to Texas for his new movie. The quote from Us Weekly is, they're both all in.
That is not just lovely.
What are your thoughts on this?
I just don't get it.
Like, your actual real thoughts, Elizabeth.
I feel like there's just so much thirst involved, and there's such a bizarre need for attention with this relationship. And I also, like, I get that when you kind of live the celebrity jet set life, I just find this to be so strange when you have children and you're just like, okay, so I'm going to Texas to do this movie. We're going to live together while he's filming this movie. Then this insider says they're looking for a new property to move into in LA, which will be their main base while they enjoy traveling the world. Like, does anyone forget that there are 5 children among the 2 of them?
Well, only when it's convenient for them do they bring up the children.
Do you feel like this?
Yes.
And I'm not trying. I don't want to be a judgy McJudgerson parent. But
no,
I also
we never
have
want
3
to be
children.
Elizabeth, but we have to be.
And it's fine. I'm not a parent, so I can judge all I want.
I know. I just find it to be so strange that you're just like making all of these decisions about your relationship and your life. And you just, we want to enjoy this like global, like trotting life. And you have kids that, what's happening with them?
That is,
I guess,
a $1 million
Ben's
question.
They just live with Jennifer Garner and she's home and she's doing her pretend cooking show, which is the cutest Instagram feature ever.
It probably is. Well, what's fascinating about it too is that publicly, okay, it's one thing if you present yourself publicly as I'm in this romance and I'm globetrotting and blah, blah, blah. But then also at the same time, they do the publicity where it's like, I'm a good parent and I'm taking my kid to Universal Studios.
Right.
Which lane are you going to pick?
Which lane are we going to pick? I guess we can be full, complete people, but I just find it to be very, it feels like a lot of instability to me.
Listen, you're not going to get any disagreement from me, Elizabeth Reese.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, agreed.
I feel conflicted about this because I feel a little bit like a jerk, but then a little bit not like a jerk because I just kind of feel like that's the deal when you have kids. You have them, you have to prioritize them.
Agreed.
Muy importante.
I mean, parenting 101.
101. Maya Bialik and Ken Jennings are going to host Jeopardy through 2021 after Mike Richards' exit. We all saw that was going to be happening. So for the remainder of the show's 38th season, that's going to be the split Jeopardy host while a search for a new permanent host continues. I don't know why they're trying to find a new permanent host. Just have these two split the duties.
Listen.
Have Maya Bialik do it when she can and Ken Jennings can do it the other days. It's really fun.
I don't know if you had a solid opinion on this or if you watched Elizabeth Reese, but I thought Ken Jennings did a great job.
He's great.
I mean, I think that they made the wise choice. I mean, despite all the drama that Mike Richards didn't get the gig, because I did watch him when he did it back in February, and I was like, well, who's this guy?
It's weird that who's he got that it to begin with.
Well,
he gave the job to himself.
Yes, he did.
It's the executive producer who said, I'm going to give myself the job.
Yes.
That's what executive producer is.
Mike Richards. That's who we're talking about.
Yes, that's what we're talking about.
I thought we were talking about Ken Jennings.
No, Ken Jennings did a fine job. Mm-hmm. Mike Richards, when he hosted, I remember
came out of the clear blue.
I remember having the thought, because I watched it when those were on in February, his episodes, and being like, well, this guy's just blasting through the questions like nobody's business. This isn't fun.
Oh, man.
No.
It was a very strange situation. Yeah. So I like the idea of both of them doing it. Maya Bialik, Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings, of course, as a contestant in 2004, won, and he was on a 74-game victory streak worth $2.52 million.
Yeah, wow. I mean, yeah, and he liked, I mean, he doesn't really need the paycheck, but good on him.
I know.
He obviously has a passion for the game.
He loves it, and I think that's really fun that he, like, knows what it's like to be in the contestant's shoes. It's like when someone who was on The Bachelor then becomes The Bachelorette. They know what it's like to go through this journey of love.
Well, and the alleged new bachelor is just that person, right?
Someone who was on Michelle's season, Michelle, our hometown gal.
Yeah.
She hasn't come out yet.
I saw a picture with his shirt off. I don't remember his name. Zayden or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens when you see somebody with their shirt off. It's like, do they have a name?
Meh. Oh, man. This is a weird story, but Sharon Osbourne is talking about her relationship with Ozzy Osbourne, which is just really fascinating.
Can I just go on record? I don't like this conversation.
And we've had this conversation before.
I know, but here it is. She said, our fights were legendary because we would beat the bleep out of each other.
Why?
She said, we stopped, must be 20 years ago, but we had a good run, is what she said.
That's actually not a good run. That kind of fighting,
it's with very,
using the words that you used.
Yeah.
That is not to be made light of. And that's why I'm upset by this conversation.
I feel that way, too. We had a good run. That was the problem. 7 years into their marriage, remember, Ozzy Osbourne was arrested for attempting to kill her. He was in a drug-filled rage. He once described that incident as, and I quote, not exactly one of my greatest achievements.
You can say that again.
Yeah. And he said, I felt the calmest I'd ever felt in my life. I was just peaceful. All I remember is waking up in this jail, and I asked the cop, why am I here? And he says, you want me to read your charge? So he read, John Michael Osbourne, you have been arrested for attempted murder. That's what he wrote in his book.
Oh my gosh.
Is this all part of Sharon's interview with Daily Mail TV?
Yes.
About her conversations about the aftermath of her leaving the talk on CBS.
Yep.
Interesting that she's bringing up this stuff again. She's brought it up a lot. I mean, this is not that this is making headlines on Page Six. I was like, well, we've had this conversation.
I know.
A long time
ago. But she just talked about it again on Daily Mail TV on Tuesday.
Okay.
And so then it takes that long for it to get across the pond here.
It does. It has to go to space.
It has to cross. Oh, yes.
It travels on a ship right over.
Nice. You know.
And first,
along with all of your Amazon packages
and shipping containers filled with all sorts of stuff.
Yay!
Who knows what's in all of those? So anyway, that's what I have, you guys. Thank you so much for spending time with me.
Oh, thank you.
Elizabeth Reese, thank you for spending time with us. Yes. When we come back, we are going to solve some pop culture mysteries in the form of blind items on My Talk 107.1. The Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. Bradley Trainer's on vacation. Holly Roberts and I are here with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe our friend Donna Valentine has entered the chat.
Hi.
Oh, we need to, we'll grab her mic. And then we will solve some pop culture mysteries in the form of blind items. Holly's going to bring them to us in this segment we call Blinded by the Item.
Blinded by the Item.
Hot and ready. She's on mic number 7, that Donna Valentine. You are. Yes, you are, girl. All right. Let's solve some celebrity gossip mysteries. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, you guys. I love this. It's so much fun.
Try this celebrity gossip mystery on for size. This longtime casino magnate, who seems like he's about 100 years old, paid nearly $500,000 to watch this former A-plus list singer do a 20-minute striptease down to nothing for him.
Ooh. Okay, so wait, what are we?
We're looking for a casino magnate.
The casino dude?
Yeah, we know the casino dude, kind of. I mean, you know his name.
Steve Wynn.
Good call.
Woo! Yeah, because Sheldon Adelson, the other old casino dude, has moved into the other dimension.
Oh,
yeah.
R.I.P.
He's pulling the slots up
in the, big old casino in the sky.
Well, somewhere. Somewhere. Now, let's think about the former A-plus list singer. Now, I'll give you a hint. This person did have a residency in Las Vegas at one point in time, but I don't know if they still do.
Okay, Mariah Carey. It's someone who did a striptease. Ooh, did you say Mariah?
I did.
No.
Oh, okay.
So let's think of people who had residencies. Shania, Britney.
Yep.
Also, but former J-Lo. A-plus list.
Nope. Now, when you find this person.
Former, okay.
In the vault that is known as your brain, it'll be like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Elton John?
Not Celine.
No.
Oh my God.
She would never. Donna, bite your tongue.
Sorry.
No, think about somebody, I would say, in the early 2000s. They did a career shift and did the thing where they got naked a lot.
Really?
Or, you know, they covered their bits, but we saw, like, butt cheek and butt cheek specifically. This person had a thing for
Madonna?
Chaps.
You said former A-list.
Oh, Christina A-plus. Aguilera.
Oh. Whoa. Gross. I mean, just gross that she would dance and strip naked for him.
I mean, 20 minutes, $500,000. That's a.
Oh, yeah, that's a good payday.
Donna,
fine.
I mean, I'm sorry. Would you not get down to your thong for a $500,000?
Yeah, I might. Depends who it was. I'd be more concerned about my dance moves.
They don't care about your dance moves, Donna. That's not why they're giving you that $500,000.
You're right.
Yeah, just watch a Richard Simmons sweat into the oldies tape, steal a couple moves. You got it. $500,000.
You're golden.
All right, I'm back in.
Sorry, Dick, so, you're fine.
Steve Wynn apparently paid nearly $500,000 to watch Christina Aguilera do a 20-minute striptease down to nothing for him.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, how old is this guy? Like in his 70s?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, is he still interested in that kind of...
It's about the power, Donna.
Oh, got it. Right.
It's about the ability to say, I can do that.
Got it.
I love Donna using logic. We don't do that.
Is he still horny?
Yeah. I mean, is he really? All right. Okay. That's gross. Thanks for sharing.
Blinded by the item.
Would you like another celebrity gossip mystery? Well, you're getting one. Let's do the following mystery. I want to find a nice one here. Well, this one is confirmed. This former A-minus list actress who now just tweets all day while trying to become a cult leader and a television host appeared on the podcast of this A-list producer, host, showrunner who told the actress she could use some good therapy.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. But she's a former A-list? A-minus?
A-minus.
Colleen. Okay, wait, give us the stats again. Former A-minus list.
Actress.
Trying to be a talk show host.
Well, or, you know, she just tweets. She's on social media a lot. Okay. But NT Lawyer says the backstory is that she's trying to get some kind of TV show. And she has made some appearances recently as a talking head of sorts.
Mm.
A contributor to various
Alyssa
news programs.
Milano?
No, but close. A minus.
Rose McGowan.
Oh. She is troubled. Yeah. And the A-list producer, host, showrunner.
That is a male, right?
Yeah. I would say probably their advice to Rose would be, you better work.
Ryan that Murphy.
No to Donna. Yes to Colleen.
What did you say?
RuPaul.
RuPaul?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
This is confirmed.
How do you come up with RuPaul?
Because Holly said, you better work.
Oh, got it. Got it. Got it. Missed it. Heard it now. Feel dumb.
I'll fill in the blank for you.
Okay.
This former A-minus list actress, Rose McGowan, appeared on RuPaul's podcast. RuPaul told Rose that she could use some good therapy.
I mean,
yeah, agreed.
That we all could. How about this? We all could use some good therapy.
I don't want to put the time in.
Donna, it is time well spent.
It's just a lot.
Everything is
a
lot.
I love you, Donna.
I love you.
Let's do another one.
Blinded by the
item. Yeah. Celebrity gossip mysteries coming at you hot and fresh like this one. It's a shame the network pulled the reality show starring a bunch of ego-driven stars who would then tell people how to be thirsty. It was billed as a show and will still be a documentary about doing good for others and fair wages. But it's kind of ironic that the producers made it a non-union project so they could pay less wages and make people work more hours.
Rude. We know this one, right?
The activist.
Yes. Julianne Hough.
Priyanka Chopra Jonas and Usher.
Yes, yes. Ding, ding to all of those people.
Fill in that blank.
So, NT Lawyer says it's a shame that the CBS pulled the reality show The Activist. It was billed as a show, but it will still be a documentary about people doing good for others and fair wages. However, it's kind of ironic that the producers made it a non-union project so they could pay less wages and make people work more hours.
Wow, that's hypocritical.
Yeah.
Right?
I hope they weren't paying them in Usher bucks.
I forgot that was a thing.
Me too.
No, you know what? So we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show. But to me, the most frustrating piece of this is how many people it had to go through and nobody raised the flag on it. Nobody was like, hey, this is a terrible idea.
It sounded terrible from the beginning, so I'm not even sure how it got green lit.
That's what I mean.
Like, yeah.
Executives around the table, why was nobody like, hey, guys, this seems like a really bad idea.
Let's go back to the drawing board.
Right. Try again.
Didn't we have Julianne Hough also apologizing this morning for her blackface?
Oh, that was yesterday.
Yesterday,
and
okay.
Yes, she did. And her apology was like, you know, very listen-y and very reflective and then very excuse-y. And that's when you lose me.
Yeah.
Is when you got to throw the excuses in.
When you were listening deeply.
Deeply listening.
Blinded by the
Don't listen to another blind item.
Yeah, deeply listen to this. This former A-plus list actor who's not a great actor gave his twice former co-star $1 million to help out with legal bills.
Wow.
Okay, former A-plus list actor?
Yes.
Former.
Who's not really an actor.
Who's not a good actor.
Yes.
Not a good actor.
Mm-hmm. Gave his twice former co-star $1 million to help out with legal bills.
Okay.
This is going to be tricky.
I know. So what's the best way to get there, Holly? To think about the actor or think about the buddy that they're helping with the money?
I think both are equally important to think about, and one will lead to the other. Now,
okay.
Think about somebody who has acted with somebody a couple times and an actor. Well, let's start with the actor who has legal problems. This person is facing some serious legal problems and they're icky.
Oh, okay. So these are like accusatory, alleged.
They have been charged. Yep.
Okay. That's helpful.
Is it like James Franco-y?
Not James Franco-y.
Okay.
But the guy. The guy. What is his name? The I feel is, like it, is it the Scientologist guy?
Yeah. Oh, Danny Masterson?
Yep. Yes, thank you.
Danny Masterson and Ashton Kutcher?
Yep.
Mm. Oh.
Good job, Donna.
Thanks.
Oof.
Thanks, Colleen.
Oof. Yikes. Okay, let's fill in that blank.
So Ashton Kutcher has given Danny Masterson $1 million to help out with legal bills.
That's generous.
Back away, dude. Just get away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, that's my, like, if I could get his ear, I would say to him, nothing good comes from supporting Danny Masterson right now.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why he would do that, though. Just say, here's $1 million, use it, and just keep me away from the story and your behavior. And then he's maybe just gonna, done. There you go, buddy.
Well, obviously, they have a deep friendship because he brought Danny Masterson to star on The Ranch with him right. on Netflix.
And it was only... Didn't they used to be business partners? Like, didn't they used to own a restaurant together or something?
I can't, that could that be. Can't speak to that, but would not be surprising.
Yeah, it's like tickling my brain somewhere. I listen, I'm all about loyalty and friendship, but I'm also about, like, accountability and, like...
Not going to jail yourself.
Kind of.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. Ashton Kutcher, man. Not a fan.
Remember You're not,
that,
right?
No, oh, remember that time that he tried to push that business on us where he was like, here's my phone number. Give me a call and a text. And we'll give you exclusive content and access to all this gobbledygook, yeah. which is just a data grab. Thanks.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
I texted right. it.
No, yeah.
And I super did. And yeah. then I got like a text back. That was fake, obviously.
Yeah,
and
I was then like, thank you.
That was it. That was the end of it, though.
See, they just wanted to get your stuff.
But strangely, I think I was injected with 5G right after that.
Oh, dang. All right, you want to get that looked at?
Hey, Donna, thanks for helping us out.
Yeah, this was fun. Maybe I'll come back tomorrow.
I would love that.
I don't know.
You so much, Donna.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, a little here's what we're watching live. I've been watching American Crime Story, not store. You don't buy crime there. American Crime Story Impeachment. And I have been wanting to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about why Holly isn't watching it after this on My Talk 107.1. Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. Streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. Bradley Trainer's on vacation. Holly Roberts and I are here with you.
Yellow.
Okay, Holly. I have been meaning to talk about American Crime Story Impeachment. This is the latest offering from Ryan Murphy. And it's in his sort of, you know, he has like sort of, what are the words, like categories that he makes shows for. There's American Horror Story, which is like a runaway hit or mm-hmm. was. And then he's done American Crime Story. And the thing I like about American Crime Story is that Ryan Murphy, to me, shines best when he has a story, like a framework to work within.
Oh, yeah.
So we know where the story's going.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is the story. Well, okay, so it would be billed as the story of Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton's affair, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But what I appreciate about American Horror Story, I'm going to do that the whole time.
I mean, there's a lot of American stories.
Right. This is the crime one.
Yeah, this is the crime one.
This is the crimey one.
Yeah.
The thing I appreciate about this version of American Crime Story Impeachment is that it's billed as the salacious story about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, but there's like a deeper perspective that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so perfect for our sort of post Me Too, or I guess I would say like Me Too in progress world, because it gives you I would hope it gives people a different understanding of how power was used
sure.
in this moment. So Beanie Feldstein plays Monica Lewinsky. And we know that Monica Lewinsky actually had a really strong influence on this.
Yeah, she's a producer on the project.
She was. And she was. So she the scene that everybody's been talking about is the thong flashing scene. So do you know what that was, Holly, at all? Do you remember that from the Star reports or anything?
No, you know, it's fascinating because So this all happened in the late 90s, 1998, 1999. I was not of age during this whole rigmarole. So right. I don't remember a lot of the details. And in fact, I do remember at the time being a young teenager, and some of the things didn't translate. So this probably would have been one of the things that didn't translate to me would be thong flashing. So what was the thong flashing thing?
Okay, so this is interesting because I intersect this story as this was all happening concurrent with, and it wasn't out there. The story happened during his second election, and that was the first election that I voted in. And then we became aware of it during his second term. Mm-hmm. But so it's interesting how I connect to it, because I was actually like technically an adult at the time that we were talking about this. Anyway, the thong flashing scene, I wasn't super aware of either, because I don't think I followed it as closely as a lot of people who were older than I was did.
Yeah.
But Monica Lewinsky was 21. And, you know, she had been an intern in the White House, in the West Wing, and she had sort of garnered the attention of the president. And she was coming in with a huge crush on the president, which is, you really can kind of understand that as a 21-year-old, you know, when you're in that type of, I mean, he's the leader of the free world, right? So mm-hmm. she's got a crush on him, and he's taking advantage of that. And you're seeing this happen back and forth. And at one point, Monica Lewinsky, saw the president coming down the hall, and she was on a phone call, and she knew that he was going to slow down as he walked by this room. And she lifted up her suit jacket and made sure that the side of her lacy thong was showing so that the president would see it. Mm-hmm. And it would be sort of like a sexual signal, right?
Sure.
The thing that's so interesting about it is, I think at the time, in the telling of that story, Monica Lewinsky was vilified.
Oh, right. The temptress.
Yeah.
The salacious woman who wanted to use her sexual energy to get at the leader of the free world.
But no blame toward, or I should say, not as much blame toward the leader of the free world.
Oh, what do you know?
Who was taking advantage of a power dynamic on a 21-year-old woman who had a crush on him, right? Like, it is, you start to see it differently. And that's what I appreciate about how the story is being told. We also are interfacing with Paula Jones in this storyline, because that was all happening concurrently. Paula Jones was being public about her interface with Bill Clinton. And I just have to say, the person who plays Paula Jones, whose name I'm going to get here right now, she is playing it on point. It is unbelievable. Her name is, hold on, I got to get her, the actress.
Annalee Ashford.
She is, now Paula Poundstone has nothing to do with this. Paula Jones.
Yep.
Paula Jones is like offended by this. But if you're watching it, you honestly cannot separate the real Paula Jones from this portrayal of Paula Jones.
So it might be why it's touching the real Paula Jones in a sensitive way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You guys, if you have not yet watched it, we're two episodes in. It is fantastic. The acting is fantastic. The story is fantastic. Holly, why aren't you watching it?
Because of licensing agreements. Rude. You can't watch it Hulu on demand. You have to be able to watch it on FX. It's going to be on Netflix early 2022. That's because of an agreement made between Fox and Hulu, or Netflix, excuse me, back in the day. Thank you, Mickey Mouse. Oh, I cannot so watch this.
Frustrating. Well, I'm going to be here to guide you through it,
Thank
Holly.
You. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, what was your favorite toy growing up? 651-641-1071. We'll take your calls after this.